Amen. How beautiful. Oh, thank you, God. Hey, who's already cried today? Who needs a tissue? Just put your hand up if you need tissue. No one? Liars, I heard you sniffling. Oh, what a privilege. Hey, it feels a little bit like a disjointed to kind of jump from such a beautiful thing to, here we are reading this word together, and it in some ways has not a lot to do with what we've heard, but in a lot of ways actually really does. And so, yeah, maybe I just pray for us right now. Maybe you grab your Bible out. Maybe we turn the lights up, Steve, so we can see everyone's faces. Thank you so much. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. And God, I thank you that we are a body. And there are many parts of the body. And for us here today, God, we just want to know you more. We want to be closer to you, Jesus. We want to become more like you. So that just like in all the countries we've heard about, that people would come to know you here in Armidale as well. So thank you, God, for your word this morning. I thank you for all that you will do here this morning. I thank you that it's not over. I pray, God, that we would not walk in here with the expectation of or the attitude of, all right, what have you got for me, God? No, God, we're here to love you and to hear your word and to serve you and to serve one another. And we just humble ourselves before you now, God, and just say, speak to us today, Holy Spirit, in a way that only you can. Begin to change us, God, from the inside out, so that we're not going through another program or another 20 minutes or whatever it is, but we are beginning to change to become more like you, Jesus. And that's our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Okay, I'm going to need some tissues as well. Can someone grab someone? I'm not joking. All right, so we've seen a couple of cultures on the screen already, and all over the world, in almost every culture, there is a thing that we do when something good happens. It's someone's birthday, it's someone's anniversary. What do? We celebrate, and usually it's with food. Usually we eat. Who loves birthdays? Anyone? So just shout out to me, like our birthday parties, what do? Eat cake, yeah. Anything else? Sing happy birthday. Anything else? Huh? Play games, have presents. I had a birthday a little while ago and I just had a very little dinner with just a small handful of people, and they did the embarrassing thing, because I turned 40. They did the embarrassing thing where they go like around the table and they like say nice things about you, and the whole time you're like, oh my gosh, just please. But it was beautiful and I ended up crying, which is why we should keep tissues close for everyone. But has that ever happened to you? Or you've said something nice about somebody else because it's their birthday, because it's their anniversary, and we love to do these things. We love to celebrate one another. But I think more than that, I think more than the presents and more than the cake and, you know, lots of sugar and lots of carbs and whatever else is going on, more than that, it's actually that we're gathered together in the same place with one another and we're present with one another. I think that's what people just really love, and I think we desire more than just food. And for the writers of the New Testament, there is actually a word for this, where we come together, we're present with one another, and more importantly, we're present with God, and we're eating and we're celebrating, and it's actually called communion. Now, as soon as I say that word, I was with our brother-in-law yesterday, and he said, oh, what are you preaching on tomorrow? And I said, oh, if I say the word, you're going to think it's really boring. So I just want you to know that it's not boring. It's actually amazing. And this is the evolution of it. And this is how it was in the early church. And it's somehow we got to how it is now. And I don't really understand what that is. And we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks as well. It's going to be amazing. Blow your mind. And he's like, okay, what it is? What is it? I said, it's communion. And he's like, oh, yeah, you're right. Like, that does sound boring. And I was like, oh, God, help us. Anyway, food and eating together, it's like there's this bonding. And we do it as bonding and we do it as Sabbath sometimes if you practice a Sabbath at your house. We do it, you know, even here for morning tea, like a worship experience. And something that is so good, the idea of food and being around a table together, there's two sides to it, isn't there? Something that's so good and so beautiful and God-ordained, that we would eat together and that we would share life together, has somehow in our culture just like given way to like fast food and like gluttony and eating disorders and horrible things and like eating for comfort. like, not me, I wouldn't do that, but you might do that, like eating for comfort. Like animal cruelty, even in the way that we produce some of our food. There's 50 billion people currently dieting right now. American Christians, I'm not sure about Australians, but American Christians spend more money on dieting than on world missions, on what we've just seen annually. And Australians on average throw away $1,500 worth of groceries each year. As in, you know, when you buy the bag of lettuce, don't lie and pretend you haven't done it. You buy the bag of lettuce and put it in the fridge and you just kind of forget to make that salad. And before you know it, it's like this green mush in the bottom of the bag and you just have to throw it away. Anyone? Okay, good. I was like, I'm really scared I was the only one. God forgive us. So around a table with friends and family, it's like all that's right with the world. And statistically, as humans, we are at our happiest. Like you actually cannot like produce in any other way more happiness than when we have a solid family or beautiful friends around a table and we're sharing food and we're present with one another. Statistically, that's where we are at our happiest. And so it just seems like all that is right and all that is wrong in the world, it stems from the table, from how we eat and how we relate to one another. And one of the single biggest indicators of success for an Australian child in particular, but no doubt the world, is daily meals around a table where parents are present and things are discussed and they're present with one another. So if you have little kids and you're not having dinner at the table yet, like just go for it. Don't let anything stop you. It's the best thing you could do for your children is have dinner and talk. It's the talking. It's the talking and processing the day around the table together. That is really what matters. And so what is this practice of Jesus that we now call communion, which has kind of ended up like this is what we think of. Hey, like I come into church and I have this little thing that is probably like so bad for you and it tastes bad too, let's be honest. It does. It's the truth. And we come in and we see it on our seat and we know it's time for communion. And for lots of us, what that means and for how I was raised in church and praise God for it, like praise God for our church. I'm not bagging it out at all. But there was this sense that communion is, you know, we have the emblems together and it's a tiny bit of juice and there's a reason for that, which we'll talk about in a couple of weeks. And like a tiny little wafer, which wasn't what it was historically, but we walk in, we know it's communion day, communion Sunday, and we think, okay, what have I done wrong? What have I done wrong this week? What do I need to say sorry to God for and maybe feel a little bit bad about? And then like someone well-meaning will pray a communion prayer and we're like, yes, thank you, God. We remember your sacrifice for us. And it is beautiful, right? It is. It is. Praise God for his sacrifice for us. Thank you, Jesus. But what this is so far, what? Oh, the tissues. Thank you. Where are they? Oh, they're right here. Okay. But this here on this chair with this little tiny emblem and it's made of plastic and then we just goes into landfill. This is so far from what God had in mind for us. When Jesus instituted this practice of communion, of eating together. Not this. Eating a meal together. Church around a table. And we will, I'm so sorry. Oh my gosh. Pull it together, Gary. I've just been so impacted by just looking at this. And so we will talk about, not next week, but the week after, we will actually talk about how did this happen? How did we get to this point where this became communion? And we stopped doing church around a table, being God's family around a table. Just look to the person next to you and just take a deep breath. Oh, just say, pull it together. Seriously, there's only 15 minutes left. Ah, oh. Thank you. I'm so sorry. I'm just going to try my best, okay? Ugh. So grab your Bible. I love your heart, Ronnie. And I'm going to look at Luke chapter 22 real quick. And I might just read a little bit of extended version to my notes. Luke chapter 22. And it says this, and you've heard it before, okay? But Holy Spirit, help us now to hear this with fresh eyes, that we might become more like you, Jesus, that we might follow you fully, in Jesus' name. Verse 7, it says this. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So they're preparing, aren't they? They're preparing for this meal, for this Passover together. And Jesus said to Peter and John, go and make some preparations for us to eat the Passover. And they're like, where do you want us to do that? And he said, go and enter the city, and a man carrying a jar of water, he will meet you and follow them to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, the teacher or the rabbi, your Bible might say the rabbi, asks, where can we eat the Passover in this house? Where can he eat the Passover with his disciples? And he'll show you a large upper room. It will all be furnished. What a bonus. Make some preparations there. They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared for the Passover. And when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you. I've eagerly desired to eat with you. Not I've eagerly desired to go through the motions with you and to do this and that so that we fulfill our religious duty. I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. So after taking the cup, he gave thanks. He gave thanks, and the kids have been talking about this. And he said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink it again the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, and we all know this, and he gave thanks. Thank you, God. And he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this to remember me. And in the same way, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new way to be human, which is poured out for you. My blood, which is poured out for you. We'll go down to just verse 30. He just says to them, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. So that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. So amazing. We've heard this all a million times, but I would say it is not a stretch to even mention today that these are probably some of the most misunderstood and underappreciated verses that we read. And some churches, we read this every week. And he gave thanks, and he took the bread, and he took the cup. We've heard it all before. Especially this idea of do this in remembrance, right? You've heard it a million times if you've been at church, a million times. Do it in remembrance of me. And so this beautiful, appropriately weighty, charged with actually celebration for the early church kind of meal, it wasn't just this. It wasn't just bread and the cup. For the early church following the resurrection of Jesus, communion was a whole meal. But before a meal, it was an invitation to do life around a table in someone's home with other apprentices of Jesus. Oh, how beautiful. How beautiful. This is the church. Not necessarily how we're gathering today, although Pastor Bron is going to talk about how we gather next Sunday, and I'd love for you to be here. But for the early church, this is what it was. We gather around the table. We thank God. We eat together. I'm getting ahead of myself, but it was an act of social justice to have communion. Communion in the early church wasn't like, let's get the believers together, and if you're not a believer, you can't come. No, it was like, bring in the poor, bring in the slaves, and let's feed them, because that's what the church does. We are the social justice in our community. We are the ones who feed people. We are the ones who invite people who no one else will invite in from the fringes and say, celebrate this with us, because God loves you, and you were once dead, but you are now found alive. Oh, what a church. Amazing. And it's in this kind of communion that we remember the past, that what Jesus did, that our sin is forgiven. Remember the past and remember the future, what that means for us, that one day Jesus will restore the world and everything in it. Praise God. And so it's this convergence of what happened in the past. What has Jesus done for us? Here we are in the present, being present with one another at the table, being present with God as well. The kids are learning about the Lord's Prayer. I think today. Are they starting today? And what we all know is the Lord's Prayer. Who knows the first little bit? Our Father, who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Right. And so in the original language, there's so many more pictures and like ideas associated with this than what we've just said out loud. So our Father, who is in heaven, it's not talking about he's up there and we're down here. Gross. God is with us now. We're not separate from him. So our Father who is in heaven, that word heaven, it's more literally the heavens, as in the air around us. Our Father. So we could say our Father who is as close to us as the air we breathe, and then hallowed be your name is like I stop in my mind, in my body, I stop and become aware of you. How beautiful. That's what our kids are learning this week. Oh, I can't wait. They're going to love it so much. So we're present. We're present with God and we're present with one another. This was communion. N.T. Wright says, the hardest thing about the sacraments is they invite us to look at time a different way. The term memorial does not mean merely bringing something to mind and remembering. It refers in some way to bringing that past story and divine action of the past into present, such that the present audience becomes a part of the story and receives the benefit of such actualization. Communion is not to call to mind an event, but it's like to drag it, to drag everything that happened, to drag the knowledge that Jesus has died for us and the knowledge that he will restore all things, to drag it into our present, into this middle of this table where we're sitting together in our homes, where we're celebrating who Jesus is. It's to drag all of this into the present and to just understand the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God. And I just think, like, I imagine the early church having communion, you know, literally like 30 or 40 like rowdy Corinthians in someone's backyard, and there's like wine and there's heaps of food around, and you know, there's dancing and there's singing, and we'll talk about like introspection in a moment, but it's like this big celebration. And I just think, like, even of dogs running around. I don't know about you, but I feel like my dog is a Christian. His name is Max. Where's Andrea? Your dog's a Christian too, right? Andrea has a golden retriever and I have a silky terrier, and I'm pretty sure they're Christians. I preached at this church once in Vanuatu, and every time the church met together, there was this dog that would just come and sit at the back of the church while everyone was in there. And they, in their broken English, said, "That's Christian dog." And I was like, right on, man. That's awesome. So I'm imagining like the laughter and the celebration of these people who have literally like known Jesus, like they have seen him and they have heard him. And he's alive now. He was dead and he's now alive. And they're just gathering to celebrate because they know that, you know, God loves them. And all barriers between humanity and God, they're all broken. And this is a huge celebration. And so every week after we've worked the day, on Sunday is like the Monday of their week, worked hard all day Sunday, and everyone comes together in this backyard, and there's dogs and there's birds and there's like all of this stuff happening, and they're just celebrating the goodness of God to them, that God would not leave us on our own, that he would send Jesus to bring us close to him. What a celebration. It's so far from this, hey. Oh, it's so far from it. So this is what Jesus meant when he said to remember the past, where Jesus broke every barrier, and the future, where Jesus will restore all things. And all of this comes together. And it transforms us when we take seriously this practice of communion and not just this little element on our chair, which we will continue to do, by the way. But it's like a reminder, isn't it? It's a reminder of a reminder. It's a reminder of let's be together. Let's be the church that is together. And so there's a few names for this over the years that the, you know, church in general and throughout history, communion has been called. Obviously, the first is communion, which we're calling it today. And the idea is like fellowship and participation. That's what the Greek word means. So when the early church thought about communion, they weren't thinking like this on your chair today. They're thinking like the original word koinonia, and it's like community and participation. We're in this together, and it's like visceral and messy, and like the kids kids spilt the drinks and like we're all in this together, this kind of community celebration encompassing all of the things that we've heard about community, fellowship, participation. And then our Anglican friends, they would call it Holy Communion, and it's the recognition that this is holy. There is something special about it. It's not the same as like just having lunch at home in your lunch break before you go back to work. It's like this meal, this moment that is separate from all of that, that is a moment of celebration, is a moment of thanksgiving, thanksgiving. I've heard a million messages on Sundays regarding like this little plastic emblem that you have, which is, like we've said, so far from the experience that the disciples would have had. And but I've actually never heard communion talked about as it relates to one another, like one another in the faith, like doing this together, having communion together. We're talking about have communion, it's introspective, we're like, sorry God for this and this and this, I shouldn't have said that, I shouldn't have bought that, I shouldn't have whatever it is. And then we take our little emblem, it's much more. And David Fitch, his name is, he writes this: communion is a kingdom of God act. It tells us the kingdom of God is near. It reorients us to God's ways when we have been all twisted up and spun around to focus on things that don't really matter. When we sit around this table and tend to his presence, I stop and become aware of you. Each of us must come to grips again with the reality that Christ is present at the table in a real sacramental way. We must tend to his special presence because his presence always brings, listen to this, the reordering of our lives together into his kingdom. Communion reminds us that we are God's subjects and his children, and our identity is secure in this right side, right kingdom. Therefore, as we begin to live out our calling on this earth as ministers of reconciliation, we can do so with submission to each other, to be present with one another, and with humility to all, following the example of our King who humbled himself by coming to the earth and becoming submissive, even to death on a cross. The Lord's table happens every time we share a meal together with the people and tend to the presence of Christ among us. He goes on, and there's probably too much to read, but he says, we give up control, risking humiliation and even scandal. Jesus ate with some sketchy people, right? He was not popular for that. The question is not whether Jesus will be present, but will he be recognized? He writes, I have to admit that most of the time I don't recognize Christ's presence around me, but I long for the day where his kingdom logic is so ingrained that I can recognize his presence at work and maybe even be an arrow drawing another person's attention toward his goodness and grace. Communion is to be aware of Jesus' company, firstly, and to be present with our friends and family as well, the family, the body of Christ. I'm running out of time, but let's quickly have a look at this. The breaking of bread is another name for it. So in Luke and Acts, we hear about this, the breaking of bread. And Luke talks about this all the time. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the breaking of bread. It's actually the same word, koinonia, the participation. And in Acts 20, they came together and they broke bread. So you might ask, are they taking communion together or are they having a meal together? And the answer is both of those things. There's zero difference between the two. Who's heard of the Eucharist? This is cool, and it means, I was talking with Bubba about this just earlier, the Eucharist actually comes from the word Thanksgiving, so it means the Thanksgiving. How cool is that? The Thanksgiving meal. The Thanksgiving meal, and it just kind of stuck around, and church has just used it forever. And it's just like people still use it today. Outside of probably Western countries, it's the most common name for communion. And the idea is that we index our hearts toward gratitude, which is the only fitting response, isn't it, at the victory and like the supremacy of Jesus, that we would be grateful. And the last one for today, we'll talk about it again in a couple of weeks, is the love feast. The love feast. Does the hippie in you love this right now? The love feast. I see your hand, Nikki. The love feast, it kind of sounds immoral, hey, but it's not. It was amazing. And it's actually mentioned in the book of Jude in the Bible, but then carried on by the church fathers. and it's like a feast. It's like a full-on feast like we've talked about. Any men in the room, you're like, yes, I would go to communion every week if this is what it was. Like, so wonderful. We get to eat together and celebrate together. When the love feast became more of a sacrament in the Middle Ages, which we'll talk about, it just kind of turned into like this sober, somber, introspective, very tame, very individualized practice when it should have been a feast. In fact, it was like such a wild feast that in lots of Paul's writing, we think that he's just like not condoning drinking wine, but he's actually talking to the Corinthian church. He's like, you guys are partying at communion too hard and you need to not get drunk. That's what a lot of that scripture is about. It's not about just randoms being drunk in their own house. It's like everyone coming together and having communion together. And it just went a little bit too far. They just just celebrated a little bit too much. He's like, guys, don't do that. So that's where all that came from. But interestingly, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, it's important to say this out loud, actually. There is a time and place for repentance before the Lord. It's special and important, and we don't stop doing that just because we want to have a party. It's not that. That's not what I'm saying. But Paul takes it so seriously that he's like, this is why many of you are weak and sick among you. And it says some of you have fallen asleep. Lots of people think that means different things. We won't discuss it now. But it was having communion with our brothers and sisters while like still holding a grudge, or while still harboring like offenses in our heart. That's what he's talking about. And so he's saying we should do this work of repentance before we come to the table together to celebrate our rightness with one another and our rightness with God. And so this is where we have got this right, is that there is a time, there is a place where we do come before the Lord in humble ourselves, in reverence, and say, just ask the question, like, where are my actions out of sync with my apprenticeship to Jesus? This is an important question. And then once we've done this, and I'm actually asked the band to come now because we're going to have communion together a little bit differently. And I couldn't like cook a 15-course meal for y'all today. I would love to do that. Maybe another time. But throw up your hand if you're in a Connect group. Yeah, amazing, amazing. If you're not, come and see me if you would like to be in one. Because usually when I have, when after I preach, you will have noticed just some questions. I think we do have some questions. But they're like application questions, like what does this mean for me this week? Like what do I need to do? What do I need to think about this week? And Richard's like, bring it closer to me. No. but instead of doing that, no application questions or like statements today. What I would just, it'd be so cool is if we decided this week in our Connect group or just with anyone, invite someone over. And we just have this meal together and we just, to its fullest expression, have communion together. We're present with one another. We're present. We're recognizing the presence of Jesus with us and we're celebrating because how amazing, how amazing. There's nothing else in the world like this. There's nothing else in our experience like this, that God would come close to us, that he would bring Jesus and that Jesus would give everything so that we could know God. That's what we're celebrating. And we are so used to hearing that in here, but I hope you realize how amazing this is. Oh, and everyone, the world, everyone who's not in church this morning in Armidale, they don't even know that they need this kind of relationship with God, but they do. Humanity is desperate for it. Let us be the ones that live it out in our houses, that we have these love feasts, that we have these moments where we're celebrating what Jesus has done for us and not just waiting for once a month on Sunday when we have our little plastic. Like, we're still going to do that, right? Can we just begin to think about this in greater depth to what we maybe currently have? So cool to have the kids in. Is there anyone else? Yeah, cool. The table and the celebration of communion in its truest expression comes after we've made ourselves right with one another and we've made ourselves right with God. And then we get together and we celebrate. And so how can you reimagine this practice of communion this week? Like you personally, come on, let's not just go away and be like, all right, ticked church off for this Sunday. That's not church. That's not church. What we've done in this hour, it's part of it, but that's not all there is. Church is community of believers sharing the table with one another. How can we do that? How can we reimagine that in our house, even just with your own immediate family? How can we get at your connect group together? Can you invite some people over to share this meal? Can you get out in the sun and like have a little feast while deciding to be present with Jesus and to be present with friends and family? Turn your phone off, open your Bible, eat and laugh, and maybe you pray and the Holy Spirit gives you a word for someone who's at your dinner table. And maybe you read a psalm together and you talk about what that means for you. Come in, kids, come sit down. Or you teach somebody something that you know to be true about God. You teach that to somebody else. Or you crack out a guitar. Where's Zoe? Oh, you crack out a guitar. Dan, you crack out a guitar. And we just begin to sing worship songs together. This is communion. This is what communion is. Maybe you cancel your Netflix account this week. And you buy a bigger table from Vinny's. So that you can fit some people into your house so that we can live as a church around a table. Maybe we do that. Maybe that's not for you now. Don't freak out. You need a big house. You've got a shed coming. It's on the way. A shed is fine. Anywhere. Anywhere. Because who says that our generation can't be the ones who decide to just be radical and countercultural in how we follow Jesus and in how we experience the church as it should be. And I'm in no way trashing the way that we do church. I'm just saying, guys, there's more to it than programs. There's more to it than this Sunday morning. There's talk all around the world that the institution of the church is like dying. Have you heard of that? Have you heard that? It's just dying. And people are like, oh, the church will die out. Rubbish. Can I just tell you, firstly, that that's rubbish. Secondly, that the Pentecostal church is one of the only denominations still growing everywhere, all over the world, not just in Australia. So we praise God for that. And then in countries like we've just heard about, Fiji and was it Philippines? Philippines. Exploding. Christianity is exploding. The Spirit of God is transforming the lives of people all over the world. Do not believe when you hear the media say the church is dying. It's not. The Holy Spirit is at work. It's not dying. But let's be the one. Maybe where the institution is dying, it's time for us to just do church around a table as it was meant to be. And just bring people in. Just bring in anyone. When was the last time you had someone in your house and you didn't just have them over for entertainment, like to have a fun meal? And please do that because it's super fun and we do that too. But when was the last time you invited someone in because they were hungry or because they had a need and it wasn't just entertainment? How beautiful. How beautiful. Let's be the ones who do this. Imagine, I'm just getting a bit wild now and I know we have to finish. Imagine, right? In the newspapers in Armidale one day, we see like church around a table movement in Armidale. And it's like, you know, people are still coming to churches on Sunday and praise God. And God, please bring more people in. Like at ACC, we're not saying that. But like there is this recognized movement of people who are so serious about their apprenticeship to Jesus that they're willing to have people in their houses to help them and to teach them and to feed them and to love them where that is not available anywhere else. How beautiful would that be? It would be beautiful. Some of your faces are like, Kerry, you're losing it. You need to calm down. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Who says things can't change is all I'm saying. Who said that? Probably the enemy. The Spirit of God is at work, and let's recognize where he is, and let's be ones who participate in what he's doing. And so we've got communion here. I do have a little communion on your seats. So if you're like still a little bit like, oh, COVID's a thing, you can still do, please just do whatever you want to do this morning. And then we've got this table up here, and I'd love, like Dan, why don't you just come sit at the table? Any kids want to come sit? You want to sit up here on this side? You can take some bread and you can put, maybe Mr. Dan can pour a cup for you, a cup of juice. Yeah, so we're not all going to fit at this table. I'm really sorry. Don't be offended. Just have someone over this week, okay? Oh, we're about to sing these words. What's the first bit? Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. We're going to sing together. So why don't you stand? We're just going to celebrate and have your communion in hand if you want to. Have your emblems in hand. And let me read this to you really quickly. This is from Philip Yancey. Who's heard of this guy? I want to keep reading, and I don't want to be a weirdo, but I really feel like the Spirit of God is at work here this morning. So if you have any need that you want someone to pray for you about, could you, like, I don't know how you're going to do this, but like, come find me or come find Charmaine, and Nikki's over here. If you need someone to pray with you, even in this moment, while we're doing this, go. Do what you got to do. This is a moment to meet with Jesus. This is a moment for him to invade all of the difficult things in your life. So let me read this to you, and then we're just going to sing together and we're going to celebrate. It says, this table is different. It isn't where sinners find Christ, but where sons and daughters celebrate being found. Maybe someday, instead of solemnly making our way down to the tables, we should dance for joy. And maybe we should sing every born-again song that we know. And maybe we should tell our homecoming stories and laugh like people who no longer fear death. And maybe we should ask if anyone wants seconds and hold our cups high to toast lost sinners found and dead brothers and sisters alive. Ah! Oh. This is communion. So why don't you come and grab whatever you need to grab. Come, like, grab someone to pray with if you need to do that in this moment. We're just going to celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus together. Like brothers and sisters who were once dead, but we're now alive. Praise God.